Hello and welcome to Ministry Focus Podcast. I am your host, Chad Nall, the place where we talk real and live Jesus. So welcome to the show today. Hey, listen, we're going to dive right in today. We do have some interesting stuff to discuss today. We're going to be talking about CRT, which is known as critical race theory. And we do have a guest today on our show. We have Jim Babb with us today. Brother Jim, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you today.
Yeah, glad to have you with us. So what is CRT? I think that would be the best question to ask. And I have to be honest with you, it's not a very easy definition. There's a lot to it. And so I'm going to jump right in today and let's get right into it. I think everyone should understand that critical race theory, it is a direct growing out of something known as a critical legal studies. And this started, really, it started back in the 20s and 30s, but really found some precedence in the late 70s and early 80s, and particularly focused on centered here in the United States of America. So this is not something that is a global perspective. The only way it becomes global is somebody adapts the principles and the tools that critical race theory leverages as methodology of social analysis, and then apply it to their social their society outside of America. And so really and truly, this is American based. Basically, critical legal studies focused on the relationship between the legal scholarship and the struggle to see a more humane, egalitarian, and a democratic society. And so critical legal studies contains insights from the Supreme Court rulings back in 1857 and 1896, believe it or not, Brother Jim. And because of that, yeah, it gives us context of the legal debate surrounding the flawed. I'm gonna do air quotations. I know you can't see them, but separate but equal, as well as the colorblindness or the neutrality of American law. So basically what we're saying here is this, that the institutions surrounding the makeup of our democratic society, our democracy, is based on racism. It's based on this idea that everything is what it is because of what and how we were born. And so for me, it's just hard to wrap my mind around. And so, you know, the cornerstone founder of critical race theory is a guy named Derek Bell. His documents are what people consider the foundation of CRT, alongside the scholarship of Delgado. You have Kimberly Crenshaw, Ellen Freeman, Cheryl Harris, Charles Lawrence III, Mary Masuda, and Patricia Williams. They are often framed as the primary voices of critical race theory. So to define critical race theory, you really have to look at the themes that those primary voices begin to bring to the forefront. And I think that's important to understand. But do let me say this. Critical race theory really has found its basis out of Marxism. And so that being said, the founder, or one of the founders, Derek Bell, he really wanted to separate that for him. He really wanted to pull this theory away from Marxism. And so we can't say it's strictly a Marxist point of view. But the question becomes, what is critical race theory, right? And I believe the only way we can really do that is really dive in and take a look at what it is. And so I believe personally that this is not a biblical worldview for us. What about you, Brother Jim?
From my studies in scripture, it is not a biblical worldview. It's a worldly view that has been going on, you know, for years. So if we look at it biblically, CRT has no basis in the biblical viewpoint.
Right. I totally agree. Absolutely. I think that it's important for us to understand some of the basic tenets. Again, as I said earlier, I think basically there's five themes that typically identify critical race. One, race is something that is man-made. It is, it has created privilege for something that is known as whiteness, a created American identity, which immigrants from Eastern and Southern Europe could assimilate. They would become white in exchange for their ethnic heritage, and that would secure them citizenship, employment, housing, and even religious freedoms and liberty. In addition to that, racism is something that is seen as permanent in the United States of America. And a lot of that is because of the implicit racist language in our founding documents, like the Declaration of Independence and the U.S. Constitution. This is what the beliefs are now. Third thing is that the counter stories for marginalized people are necessary. In Christian language, we call a counter story a testimony. So it's somebody sharing their testimony of how they have interacted with racism in America. And so this is a basic tenet of this belief system. The fourth thing is being colorblind is not being truthful. And then there's a fifth element that would say is common theme is that racial progress seems to only be made when white people are the ones who benefit from it. So these are the five themes that are identified from the primary voices themselves. So the question about critical race theory being a worldview, which when I hear worldview, I'm thinking through the lens of the arena of a theology, right? I'm thinking about what the Bible says. What is a worldview, and how does one answer that? And you have to answer that in questions such as this: who is God? Who am I? What's my purpose for living? Hey, what's real? Who determines right from wrong?
Yeah.
What happens after I die? So to me, a worldview would include deism, monotheism, naturalism, all of these things. And each of those have all these varying beliefs that relates to the concept of race, right? I mean, really and truly. Yeah. So, I mean, when we think about that, we really have to ask the question, you know, what does the Bible say about that? I mean, when you really look at it, you know, I think that's a big part of it, right? But if we were to even assess the language that we use as Christians, I mean, the term gospel was not a Christian term. It comes from a Greek word that was literally connected to the imperial cult. It was used for the good news that was proclaimed when the new Caesar was crowned, or when the Caesar was going to have a child. And so that was associated into the gospel. So our writers of Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, listen, they safeguarded them from writing anything in error. Use that concept, which was connected to pagan worship, and we have seen that used to translate into the gospel, because we do proclaim the good news of Christ being the only source of redemption that God has in his plan of redemption. And so I think that that's where it takes more education for Christians to understand that everything in our speech is not purely Christian. Would you agree with that, Jim?
Yes, I do.
You know, the clothes that we wear are not always stitched by Christians. Would you not agree with that? Think about it.
Right.
I mean, this is the things that we're talking about with critical race theory. And so another term used is intersectionality. So when people hear intersectionality in the church, I often think that we're fearful of the slippery slope, and that it's going to somehow give affirmation and precedence to the LGBTQ+ community, and may push back to that we see the concept in Scripture. And some would say, I'm isolating the reading intersectionality into the Scripture, but what I'm doing is identifying a modern word that describes something that we already see in the Bible. So one of the classic examples that we could look at is John chapter 4. Jesus spoke to the woman at the well. She was identified by her ethnicity as being a Samaritan. She was a woman. You can argue that the reason that she was drawing water from the well at that time of the day was that she was socially ostracized, so she was marginalized, okay? Mm-hmm. Those are three identifying realities for her. Another example is in Galatians chapter 3. Verse 28, where Paul's identifying his ethnicity, Paul also identifies gender, and he identifies the reality in social class. All three of those concepts are right there in Scriptures. So this is where evangelicals struggle, because when it comes to gender, we see constant materials being produced to advocate biblical roles in marriage, in the home, biblical masculinity, biblical femininity. So we don't deny gender. We're not gender neutral, right? At the same time, we see the economic realities, and we talk about the financial stewardship, giving, employment ethics, a good work ethic. We talk about those things. So we acknowledge the reality of employment and financial stewardship, but now we want to say, I don't see ethnicity. That's just not true. See, critical race theory, right. It is just not based on scripture. And so what is your research shown, Jim, out of the Bible that you believe the difference between a biblical worldview and CRT?
Well, and to really look at this in a biblical perspective, we really have to go back to Genesis. Right. And look at the whole creation narrative. When we look at that, and I'll back this up with a little scientific too. I had a DNA test done on my mother before she passed. Her DNA kind of verified what the Bible says, because it traced it all the way back to one man and one woman, that she descended from one set of parents. So if we continue in Genesis, we know at the flood, eight people got on the ark.
Right.
After the flood, eight people got off the ark. So we look at this through the historical vision of scripture, we're all related.
Yeah, I totally agree. Absolutely.
There is one race, not many races, which is a human race. And by that, there are many ethnic groups with in that race. So the word racism really is not a true definition, because in order to be racist, we would have to hate all humans.
I agree.
So, you know, going to the New Testament, we see in Acts 17:26, it says that God hath made of one blood all nations of men to dwell on the face of the earth. Again, scripture tells us that we are all related, that we can trace our lineage back to a point to where we all were one family. And I think that's the biblical view of this thing.
Jim,
the Lakota people have a term, a word they use. It's called, the word is Mitakoyasi. It means we are all related. And I think that we know that deep inside ourselves, that we are all family. We all came from the same place.
Yeah, I mean, the Bible says clearly that we were created in the image of God. So, I like to bring out a point too, Jim. I think in the book of Revelation, chapter 7, verse 9, listen to what the Word of God says. And this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. So in heaven, there's no differentiation. We're going to all be at the throne. We're going to be all worshiping the same God, because we're all under the same blood. That's the blood of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And so, so as a follower of Jesus, I'm called to pursue peace. I'm called to love, to forgive unconditionally, to seek justice for all, and to treat everyone with dignity and respect. Since every life matters and is of great value to our Creator, they should all matter to us as well. Now, am I saying, now, let me be very clear. Am I saying racism doesn't exist? No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying it shouldn't exist.
Right.
And it shouldn't label me, just because I have white skin, a racist.
Right.
I mean, that is really what critical race theory does.
Yeah. It all comes back to that one problem with Adam, and that's sin.
Right.
it comes about because of our sin and our pride and our selfishness, our self-interest. I mean, when we look back through history, it has always been one ethnic group taking over another ethnic group. It's been going on since the dawn of time. And so we have, through our sin nature, through our selfishness, we have created this thing where we desire to put someone else lower than ourselves so we feel better about ourselves.
I mean, that's racism 101, right? I mean, you know, I think back, you know, Martin Luther King Jr.'s dream of the day when his children would not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character, right? The great speech in which he gave. But that's really turned into a nightmare of segregation and victimhood. While many, listen, many well-meaning Christians today and churches have embraced CRT. You know, it's sad because it's creeping into seminaries, it's creeping into public school systems. And really and truly, and I mean this wholeheartedly, it is deceptiveness, it's very deceptive in its teaching. The Bible moves us towards systemic unity, reconciliation, and healing. Mm-hmm. CRT is built on the frame up of aesthetic Marxism and seeks to normalize systemic disunity, turmoil, pain. You know, Jesus told his disciples that they would recognize false teachers by their fruit. And let me tell you something, CRT's fruit has been division, destruction, and unforgiveness. So, you know, been many horrible acts of racism, right, in our nation's history, as there have been numerous parts of the world. Slavery was a sad reality, but resulted in something called the Civil War. And I don't know of anyone who denies those acts or claims that there's no racism today or believes that we don't have more work to do in race relations, but CRT is not the way forward. The truth is that humanity has a systemic sin problem, as you just said. Racism is one of its symptoms. If we want a positive change instead of more division, we have to address the real problem rather than its symptoms. Only Jesus can change the heart of a racist. The good news is that salvation is an equal outcome for anyone who places faith in him.
Well, you know, as we look at the world today, I think it's all an attempt to divide, to cause schisms, because when we're divided, when we're looking at each other and fighting amongst ourselves, we forget to look at the things going on around us. And you talked about Marxism, and you we look at socialism today. All that does is it creates chaos among the people, so they don't realize what the government's doing. And soon, all people are under the thumb of those in power. So, you know, it's a tool. It's a tool that we're failing to see being used today.
Absolutely. I mean, the fact of the matter is, listen, man, we live in a fallen world. And sometimes when people want to see something, they'll see it even if it's not true or even if it's not there. Right. And they'll convince themselves that they see it, and they'll be very convincing to others. We see it all the time. When I look at the framework in Scripture, the reality of this systemic deception in the world and society at large, it's actually right in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 3. I just preached on this the other night. And we see that there is a worldly system that is in opposition to righteousness, justice, and all things that are derivative from God's design for humanity. And so, listen, there is systemic sin in society. There is.
Yeah.
And now it can also be in the church. Would you agree with that statement? And that's exactly what Paul's arguing in Ephesians chapter 4. The language that he's using points to systemic lies that are present in the churches, that were brought into the church, and the way that, we refute that is through discipleship, rooting ourselves in the Word of God while living, listen to me, on mission for God.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the way we fix this. So you know, I don't know what this looks like, but I'll tell you this much. It's causing so much division. It's training up our children to realize that, listen, we have fought in this country over a period of history for equality. And now what we're doing is we're going back to division.
Yeah.
And it's not good. It's just really not good. And
well,
so,
you know, it speaks to tear down everything that's been accomplished. It seeks to take us back in time. And this, I think, one of the main issues we have here is that our children and our schools are not taught American history. It's from history that we learn the mistakes that were made and how not to make those mistakes again. But we've wiped history from the map, and there's kids growing up today that have no idea of the struggles that this nation went through. And so they're making the same mistakes over again because they haven't been taught not to make those mistakes. And I think, you know, it's, again, the devil is the master of deception.
Yeah, I agree.
And he seeks to tear apart everything that's good because his thing is to at one day rule absolute power. So we need to come back to Bible basics.
Right.
I mean, God left the good, the bad, and the ugly within the pages of Scripture.
Absolutely.
And he gave us those examples of what to do and what not to do. So we just need to, and we've been talking about this and Sunday school. We've been talking, how do we treat each other? You know, right. How do we treat each other? And we've talked about how we need to love one another, how we need to care for one another, how we need to be responsible one to another. And I think we just totally forgot that these are our brothers and sisters.
Absolutely. You know, Jesus' work is not dependent on, you know, Jesus' work is not dependent on anything or anyone other than him.
That's right.
You know, and if you really think about it, truly, salvation is a gift given by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone, confirmed in Scripture alone, for the glory of God alone. And so, you know, what we've done is we have caused division. And that goes exactly, listen, that is against the Word of God. The Word of God says we're supposed to be in unity as brothers and sisters in Christ. And if we're going to approach a lost world, Jim, we're not going to approach it in division. We're going to have to approach it in unity and love and forgiveness. And as you said, man, you made a wonderful point that, you know, rewriting history, how can we learn from our mistakes by rewriting history? You can't. And so, you know, that's why in the Word of God, God left it all there. You know, there's injustices all throughout the Bible. God didn't hide those. That's the reason Jesus came and died. That there would be forgiveness, that there would be a new beginning, right? Just you talked about the flood in Genesis, and you talked about eight people got on the boat, eight people got off the boat, and then a new history began, right, so to speak.
Right.
And then when Jesus died on the cross, and we believe on him by faith, and we receive that grace of salvation, then and only then we become born again. Meaning we should have a new nature. We shouldn't look like and talk like and be like the old person that died, so to speak. You know, from a spiritual standpoint, we should be able to walk in the newness of life. And what does that mean? I agree. One of the terminologies that is used in CRT is color blindness. No, I don't believe in that. I do see color. I see color all around me. I see black people. I see white people. I see brown people. I see people with different color of skin. And I think every one of them is individual. I think every one of them is great. There is nothing wrong with that. They should be proud of the color of their skin. Why? Because that's the way our God made them. And there is nothing wrong with that. But I personally see them as equal to me. I don't see myself better than them, and I don't see them better than me. Because we're under the same blood, we're supposed to be part of the same family, and it's so imperative that our children understand that at a very early age. I mean, it's so important.
If you watch children and their environment, before they're taught all the stuff that they're taught in life. When we talk about color blindness, I see that more prevalent within children than I do anybody else, because they don't understand that they're supposed to hate anybody yet. They don't understand until we teach them how they're supposed to act toward other people. And I think, you know, we got a systemic problem in our families today, and that's absentee fathers.
I agree.
There's no one there to guide the ship. There's no one there to teach our children how they should treat other people, to teach them a godly worldview. And it's among all ethnic groups. I mean, we just abandoned our responsibilities as mothers and fathers to teach our children from the Word of God, to teach them how to be godly people, to teach them how to care and be compassionate.
I agree.
To others. I mean, we teach them to be selfish. We teach them to seek self-gratification. And that's not the way we should live life. But this world has taught us.
Amen.
That's our mission in life, self-gratification.
Well, it's the spirit of the power of the air, right? And so,
right.
You know, CRT, critical race theory, is saying that the gospel is not enough.
Right.
I mean, really, it's saying that we need help. We need this to help us understand. And I think that's really where we read in our presuppositions. People need to understand, listen, the gospel is enough. It really is enough. And if we'll just get back to the Word of God, as you said, leading our families, leading our churches, and leading our community in the righteousness of Jesus Christ, I truly believe this is not going to be an issue. But, you know, in the cancel culture that we live in today, if you speak outside what is the norm today, then you're labeled a bigot, you're labeled a racist, you're a misogynist, all those things. And so, you know, that is a scary thought, because when we stand on the Word of God and we can proclaim being a Christian is this or that, or Jesus is this or that, by doing that, we're alienating other people, because the Word of God is contrary to their lifestyle. And therefore we're looked at as something that we're not. And that's exactly what critical race theory is doing. And so, you know what, listen, I am a white man. And I'm proud to be a white man. There's nothing wrong with that. If I was a black man, I'd be proud to be a black man. And so that has got nothing to do with who I am in Christ. And it has nothing to do with who they are in Christ. And you know what? If someone looks at the color of skin and judges a person based on the color of their skin, that's wrong. Bottom line. It would be the same as me looking at someone else that's white that lived in a lower economy, right? Or you know what they their house wasn't nice, their car wasn't nice, or maybe they've had addiction problems, and me looking down on that person and thinking, man, you know, boy, I sure am glad I'm not like that. Where Jesus Christ tells me to have compassion on that person, to help that person,
that's right,
to pray for that person. Doesn't matter about their skin color. It doesn't matter if they're white, black, yellow, brown. Doesn't matter, you know. We just got to get back. We got to get back to loving Jesus and loving people through Jesus. And I think if we'll do that, I think critical race theory will just be a theory. That's all it is. It was something that has brought division and will continue to bring division if we don't stomp it out quickly. Jim, thank you so much for the conversation today, man. It's been a lot of eye opening stuff that we discussed today. And so I just want to thank you for being on the podcast today, and I look forward to talking with you soon, brother.
All right. My pleasure, bro.
All right. At this time, we're going to close out the podcast. Hey, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for tuning in today. And as always, hey, listen, this is the place, Ministry Focus, where we talk real and we live Jesus.